Okay, it's going downhill now. Jotham, still a fairly good king, but a number of problems. He did not attempt to take on the priestly functions of his father. He took the warning there. I guess leprosy is a pretty severe warning, isn't it? So he didn't do it. He defeated the Ammonites and forced them to pay tribute to them. Of course, that was common in those days, try and get other people to pay for your own expenses. And they did it. Now, this seal actually was found. It was discovered at Elath on the Gulf of Aqaba. And the text on there says, or the symbol, says it belongs to Jotham. In other words, I guess he stamped it on all the things that he owned. And that's still existed. Now, things really went down for Judah when Ahaz became king. A son of Jotham. His name means possessor. He ruled for 16 years. Things went from bad to worse. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Now, there wasn't a good king in Israel, so that means it was bad. He made molded images for the Baals. He encouraged idol worship. He burned incense to other gods. He burned his children in the fire, a terrible thing. Moloch started that, the worship of Moloch, throwing your own children into a fire as an offering to a false god. And he did it. He sacrificed on the high hills and under every green tree. He really led the people of Judah away from the Lord. Now the prophet Isaiah lived in this period. And Isaiah has many prophecies about the coming Messiah, the one who would truly redeem Israel and us as well. Now there were also prophecies about the surrounding nations. But there is so much about the Messiah, about Jesus, that some have called Isaiah's book the Gospel according to Isaiah. Now, we can't go into it, of course. Others have. I know Ron will. Ron's an expert on these things, much more than I am. But he lived in the period of the kings Isaiah, Jotham, Ahaz and Hezekiah. All right, we're up to King Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah, he was married to the daughter of Zechariah. He's probably a good king. He's probably the best of the kings that ruled in Judah during that period. He did some very fine things. A couple of things weren't so good. We'll mention those shortly. In the first year of his reign, this is when he became king. The first year of the reign, in the first month, he didn't waste time. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. See, they'd been broken down by the preceding kings that didn't obey God. And he couldn't wait to get started on repairing the temple that had been run down and damaged. He did not follow the ways of his father Ahaz. There was a dramatic change between Ahaz and Hezekiah. And they gathered brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king at the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. You see, at the command of the king, Hezekiah is getting them moving. And he took offerings from everyone to pay for all this, and he paid the workers, and they did a lot of restoration. Now he also went out and broke down the high places of the sacred pillars, and he cut down the Asherah, the false goddess. So he was actively pursuing the aim of bringing Judah back to the Lord and worshipping truly. He sent runners throughout Israel to try and get people to come back to celebrate the Passover and the worship of the Lord. Then the runners went throughout all Israel and Judah with the letters from the king and his leaders and spoke according to the command of the king. Children of Israel, return to the Lord God of Abraham. He was so keen to get it started, to get the worship started, he acted very swiftly. He even said to the northern kingdom, he said, look, there might even be some up there that'll come. You come and join in true worship. But many in Israel laughed at him and they ridiculed him. But some came. So there were some from four of the tribes in the northern kingdom actually obeyed him and came down to Jerusalem to join Judah in worship as he had requested. Now, there was a law relating to the period of cleansing, and some of them had not been able to observe that law because they had been travelling from maybe the northern kingdom or from the other towns of Judah. Everyone who was not clean, to sanctify them to the Lord. For a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, they're the northern kingdom, northern tribes, had not cleansed themselves, not because they didn't want to, because they hadn't had time. they'd been rushing to get there. They couldn't fly in those days. They didn't have a car. They had to walk. So Hezekiah had been so committed to getting the people to come and worship God that he blew it. But he realized in his haste he'd made a mistake. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, May the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. He said, Lord, I'm sorry, I blew it. And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. You know, there's a principle here. God says he forgave Hezekiah because he mistakenly had disobeyed God. But you see, this is important. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God knew that Hezekiah's heart was in the right place. And so he did not condemn Hezekiah because of it. I dislike the message. You know, the book, The Message, I dislike it. I think it's a paraphrase, but it's not the scripture. But there's one thing I did read in The Message that impressed me and really taught me something. One of the Beatitudes of Jesus. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And he translates it, blessed are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Is that your greatest desire? To do what God requires? Well, it is amazing that God overlooks sometimes our stupidity in getting things wrong when our heart is in the right place. Hezekiah did some incredible things. Hezekiah the builder, all his might, and how he made a pool and a tunnel and brought water into the city. The tunnel still exists, of course. It was a remarkable achievement. The tunnel was about 500 metres long and it was 25 metres underground, cut through rock. And they didn't have dynamite then. They had picks, that was all. And so they dug through, and it's surprising. The scriptures tell us that they dug from both ends and the diggers met perfectly in the middle. There was a crack in the rock when they were nearly approaching and they could hear one another. So without theodolites and GPS, GPS wouldn't have been much good under there, but theodolites would have been, they got it exactly right and made this supplied water from the springs of Gihon down to the pool of Siloam. Now there is another lesson from Hezekiah that we need to learn. In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. God had decided that Hezekiah's time had come. Then he, that's Hezekiah, turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And that was right, he had. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He was very upset that God had said he was going to take his life at that point. He didn't like God's plan for his life. And God actually changed his mind and answered Hezekiah's prayer. Before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him saying, return and tell Hezekiah, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I will add to your days 15 years. Hezekiah lived from that point 15 more years. Keep that in mind. Hezekiah's unwillingness to accept what was God's plan had serious repercussions. And we'll see why when we look at the next king. Now Micah existed in this time too, and he had made two significant prophecies, judgment of Israel and Judah and the restoration of God's people in the millennium. Wonderful prophecy. We can't go into that prophecy, but that he was in this period. Then we come to the son of Hezekiah, Manasseh. Now Manasseh was a terrible king, almost the worst. His son was worse. He ruled for a long period, 55 years. I think that was the longest, actually, of all the kings of Judah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Manasseh and his son Amon were the worst two. Look at this. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. In other words, he was born 3 years after God extended Hezekiah's life. And he would never have been born if Hezekiah had submitted to the will of God. So this terrible time, Manasseh did terrible things, not against the Lord, but against his own people. He was an awful king. We have to be careful how we pray, don't we? If we know God's will, don't rebel against it. Accept God's will. His will. He knows best. God says he knows the end from the beginning. We don't. We think we can see how things will work out. God knows the end from the beginning. Accept his will.